This is the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. I'm going to bring you in this show, Hillary DeCesar. Hillary came out of the Silicon Valley in the 90s. That's where she grew her corporate legs and has now taken that to relaunch. In fact, that's what her project is called, The Relaunch Co., where she uses seven distinct steps to help you, to help entrepreneurs take what they currently know and relaunch it, not pivot. Relaunch it into something bigger, better, more fulfilling. That's how I explain it because I'm a guy. She's an awesome gal, and you're going to love her take on how she helps people to relaunch. So buckle in. Let's go for a ride. Hello. Thanks for tuning in to the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. The Upgraded Life is my personal project where I help people realize and reach their potential. I've been a professional helper for 20 years. Here's what I'm convinced of. The life that you have right now and the life that you want tomorrow is a product of your personal mindset, mission, and movement. Each episode of the Upgraded Life podcast is going to give you something that you can do as soon as the episode is over to upgrade your personal mindset. Your mindset informs your mission. Your mission tells you how to move every single day. And together, that is the upgraded life. All right, I am here with Hillary DeCesar, and I am super grateful for her to come on the show, The Upgraded Life. And I'm excited for this interview because it isn't the typical kind of starting point. We don't necessarily have the same commonalities, but we were connected by a mutual podcaster. So that's always cool to see other podcasters helping one another out. But here's what I do know. She has an incredible story to tell. She grew up in her career working, you know, in Silicon Valley, and I won't give too much away, but I did do my homework and research. And from there, decided to do things on her own and to take what she learned in corporate America and apply it in a variety of other ways. She's like all of us, has had peaks and valleys, and she's come through it, and she's here with Relaunch Co. to help people, specifically women, but that's okay. That's awesome. Get what they need out of this life and out of their business. And more importantly, as I heard, out of their relationships and blending that mind heart connection. So Hillary, I know that there's a lot more that you could say about who you are and what you've done and what you've accomplished, but that's what stood out to me as I did my homework and listened to some of the interviews that you gave. Super grateful for you to be here. Thank you so much. Introduce yourself. Let us know who you are.
Thank you. Well, first off, before all those guys turn it off and say, hey, wait, this woman is only talking to the women out here. No, that's not the case. I do relaunch men too. So please hang in there. You might actually get some key Absolutely. Takeaways that you can leverage along the way and potentially leverage it tomorrow. As far as you mentioned the whole relationship thing, I believe that you have a relationship with not only the people in your life, but the relationship you have with your work, that business relationship, and it can be as toxic as some relationships around, you know, in your personal and your family right. life. And then there's that relationship you have with yourself. So there are those three. It's interesting. As you talk about, I really did my career, my life kind of grew up around, actually first started in Los Angeles, and then after college came to the Silicon Valley and worked in corporate and did the grind and, you know, had to try to fit into a very masculine dominated industry. And then from there, I started, there was a president of Oracle, and he went over to one of the largest venture capital firms in the Valley and called me up and said, hey, come over and help train our executives and help them expand their business, put roadmaps around their business plan, help them grow, help them potentially, you know, get sold. And I did it. I loved it. And from there, I started launching companies. And then after I had launched a couple companies, I realized What is missing when you're working with individuals out there? What's missing from the equation? Why are some people killing it in their business and failing miserably in their relationships? Or they're having these great relationships, but their business is tanking. And what I came to realize is that for so many of us, when we go down to wanting to fix something, we focused entirely in on just that. I'm going all in with business. You get your business coach, all in, all in. But what you forget about is that you really are a series of three pillars. You're this concept of you've got your business, you've got your relationships, and you've got yourself. And what they all come together in making is your lifestyle. And so what I decided to do was, hey, let's turn this whole concept of, you know, having this, you know, loving your life, which you hear from, you know, all the gurus, love your life, love your work, love your this and that. And I had to say, hey, for a lot of people, you don't go from where you're currently at to loving anything. Potentially. I mean, especially now with where people are, it's tough to say, you know, stand up and start, you know, shouting from the mountaintops, I love my job. I love, you know, all that stuff. And so what I decided to do was start helping people like themselves so that they can love whatever they're really ultimately trying. And that's where I think the magic starts mm-hmm. to happen.
So I love that. I love how you broke that down. You know, one of the books I have in the work is called Guru Speak, right? And because you did a beautiful job of taking something that's absolutely true, right? It is absolutely true that you'll hear in reading the book or seeing something personal development world or hear from a guru that it's, you got to learn to love yourself and love your, you know, that's absolutely true. But how do you bridge that gap? Right. And it's the little things. And so, and that's kind of the premise of the book is, you know, taking some of those platitudes that we see, and they're absolutely true. They're not a lie. It's 100% on target, but for a lot of people, and maybe this is on purpose, right? Some of this is marketing, right? Is how do you get there? Like, what does that actually mean? How does that apply to me in my life? And, you know, I've got a dog at home, my car doesn't work, and you know, boss is yelling at me. Like, how do I love my job there, right? And so.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's like, you know, I just need a paycheck. Yeah. How, you know, I don't love my job. In fact, I would love to get, you know, nothing more than to get out of the job. But for so many, what we really try to do is say, you know, if you can figure out, which is what we help people do at the Relaunch Company, figure out what type of lifestyle do you really want? And then there's always that infamous question, why, right? Why do you want that type of lifestyle? What is that going to give you? And I'll give you a great example. I recently had a client, and speaking of a guy, it was a man, and super uber successful, had sold his company, over $100 million had sold the company, and they had merged into a larger corporation, and he was really struggling with a lot of like things that were happening in his home life. And he was also struggling with the fact of like, now what? My identity is so all in with the company. And I find this a lot with super, you know, that super successful world-class type of person, that they all of a sudden accomplish the selling of the company, the merging of the company, and they feel depleted. They feel like, you know, the air in the balloon has been deflated, and now what?
Right.
And a lot of times what we have to do is it goes 100% back to the core of the foundation. And yeah, he had reached the goal. He had made $100 million, and that was all fabulous. But there were cracks in the foundation, cracks with the family life, cracks with his own personal self. And so through a series, we built the foundation back up. And you, of all people, you know, being a therapist, you understand that you don't just kind of fill in the holes, fill in the cracks. because those cracks are just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And a lot of times you gotta take that foundation down. You gotta re-pour it. You know, the old story about the three little pigs, right? I always think about that. And, you know, the one that had the solid foundation, sure. You know, the wolf couldn't blow it away, right? I think that a lot of us are building our foundations on something really, really flimsy. And for many people, instead of thinking about going in at the bottom level and building up and having that solid foundation, we try to, you know, jump right into the second floor. and you know, hey, it's like building the house, you know, can we just start with the second floor? It's so exciting. But you got to really start with that foundation. Sure. And so sometimes I feel like I'm more of a, they always talk about another falsehood that I talk quite a bit about is the idea, the difference between everyone tells you to be a specialist, right? Be a specialist, not a generalist, especially in today's world. And I agree that it is great to be a specialist and to be business savvy, but you also have to be business smart, which means you got to understand the foundation. You mentioned, you know, the book, Guru Speak. Well, there's also these, you know, business books that have been around for 20, 30, 40, 50, even, you know, Florence Scovel, she wrote a book that I love, and it's Florence Scovel Shin, and it was written in, I think, the 1930s, and it's still so relevant. And that's the business and the core concepts of business withstand time. And these ideas and being specialty, you got to work on your business, not just in your business, not just being busy every single day.
So Hillary, what is in the ideal foundation?
Great question. So it really depends on which area you're talking about, right? And what I always say is if there is cracks in any of the foundations, it means that there's something going on the inside of you. And so whatever is going on the inside is going to be reflected back on the outside, right? So if there is something in terms of your belief system and you never have, you know, let's say, you know, money in the bank, or it comes and it goes and, you know, you finally get that big deal and then boom, the money goes out. You have to really be looking at, you know, the stories that you're telling, the things that are repeating. And one thing that I have to say is that when you start with yourself, and there's this concept that to work on yourself is, you know, you're not really working. You know, you should be working on your company. Right. You should be really focused on that. And even working on your relationship. Sometimes people are like, oh, why do you have to do that? You know, but really it's the most important relationship you can have. And that is with yourself. So how do you have a relationship with yourself? Well, first and foremost, you got to start listening to yourself. Right? For any good relationship, it's listening more than you speak. And so I always start with that. It's like, what is the inside trying to tell you? And if people don't really know, it's like, hey, look at what is going on in your world. That is telling you what's really going on. And then once you've identified that, we have this process called relaunch. And the relaunch process literally walks you through the seven steps, which is the seven, you know, effect, this guide. And the first step is always about releasing the past and being okay with the fact that the past is what it is. You cannot change it no matter what. It is there. But you can, in step two, reset how you're going to look at it and not have it be in control of you, but you take your personal power back in that situation. And then the third step really has to do with this whole concept around redesigning. It's like, I always like to say, think of yourself as if you're the entrepreneur of you, of you yourself, and you are in the business of you. And if there's a point of failure in your business, then you're not going to be reaching the level that you want to get at. And so when you're redesigning who you are, then you're really looking at, you know, this concept of how are you going to be putting yourself back out there? How do you want to? How do you want to be perceived? And in the fourth step, which is realignment, that's when you really take a step and you say, you know, everyone talks about alignment, being in alignment, and then you've got your flow. But what you really have to be looking at is we grow up with our identity. We grow up with, you know, the way we are because of how we were raised and our environment and the other, you know, other people's beliefs, whether it was your teachers or your parents or your friends. And all of a sudden you reach middle age, let's say, and middle age for, you know, some is 35, for some it's 50 now. You know, I've been reading about centurions and, you know, how we're getting more centurions these days by doing certain things. But if you look at who do you actually want to be next phase of your life, and guess what? The most exciting part of this is you get to decide. So in this part of it where you're realigning and you're deciding who you want to be, the next part of the relaunch effect is you get to rebrand yourself. And it's your own big, amazing marketing journey on you. And I, you know, we laugh in the digital world where you've got lead magnets, right? These things that draw people into your company. And this is about creating you as that lead magnet. What is, we have a saying, instead of an elevator pitch, you need to be creating your personal power pitch. And if I were to say, you know, what's interesting about you? It's not necessarily your job title. It's not necessarily, you know, the house you live in, the car you drive. It's so much more. And so we get to the basis of that. And then we really look at the idea of retaining that as this sixth step of, you know, retain. And, you know, in business, you have key performance indicators, KPIs. And so we really look at what are your KPIs? What are you going to do to keep this going? Because once you start to see the changes, once you're like, oh my God, you know, I've heard everyone else manifesting things, but now I'm creating. I'm actually the creator. I can, you know, change my thoughts. I can create my reality. It becomes something that once that snowball starts to roll down the hill and it gets bigger and bigger, you do. You feel the fuel. You're ignited. And then the last is this ability to restart. And it's like a reboot. You now have it. You have the software. You have what you need inside of you. And it's turn the switch. And that is your relaunch. And you can use this in all areas of your life. But I really, you know, for so many of us, the first one that if you focus in on self, and then once you have that self, then you're like, oh my God, now I can take that to my relationships. I can take that to my business. And that's when things start to really happen. Yeah. The sparks start to fly.
That was a beautiful description of your seven steps. And I appreciate you doing that. So let me ask about it conceptually. And because I want to make sure that I'm hearing it right. I want to make sure that, you know, the folks that are going to pick up on this podcast are hearing it right. So we all have some foundation, right? The foundation is there. And you talked about how it doesn't just work to fill the cracks with whatever, right? That you're just going to kind of get back to the same point. You know, you may put, it's like putting a Band-Aid on it, right? And so, you know, practically speaking, to me, when I heard that is, okay, people aren't aware of their foundation, right? In a real way. Especially as you talk about, it's the messaging that we got as children, teachers, parents, you know, family members, society. And that will establish our foundation because that's how it works. I mean, that's how we grow and develop. But if we don't have people in our lives that are helping us, you know, work through that question and answer process, well, then we become adults and we're not aware of our foundation, right? Am I on target there?
Okay. Absolutely true. And then what do? We start to numb ourselves with food or alcohol or drugs or exercise sometimes.
We work.
Excellent one. We just start to, you know, it's like, you know, we just start to numb. It's like, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that. And we become frenetic.
And then, you know, other things that we do to stuff the crack, right? That's where I have, you know, some contention with the idea of self-care, right? Where it's, I think a lot of times what people chalk up as self-care is actually just distracting you for a moment, right? You know, I'm feeling so burned out. I'm just going to go on vacation. Right. And so you go on vacation and you forget about, you know, what's going on and, you know, you recharge, but you're actually just distracting. And it's not a bad thing to go on vacation. Right? I'm not saying that at all, but it's, you know, self-care is actually developing the awareness about how am I getting into this situation in the first place. Right. And from your idea, it's what's in my foundation? What is a foundation? I never even been down there to take a look at it. Right. And oh my gosh, where'd that crack come from?
You built it with straws, right? You built it with something that's not that solid. And then you think when things happen, it's like, what's your escape? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go on vacation. Right. And you're great when you come back for a week. And then you're like, oh my God, I need another vacation. I can't handle this anymore.
And it's also, you know, my experience that, you know, we had help, right? And so if you have a crummy foundation, you may not be 100% responsible for how it was formed and the fact that it's crummy. But once you become aware of it, now you are responsible to do something about it, right? And that's that piece where you're talking about making peace with your past, right?
Well, and it's even like, I love how you just said that. You have a responsibility if you choose that you actually want to have a different type of lifestyle. If you're listening to this right now, right? And you've been following Nick and you're obviously somebody that wants to see their life improve and continue to grow. Well, if you're on that quest, then you have to be willing to say, yeah, I got some cracks in the foundation. I do. And that I don't want to just, you know, do a patchwork quilt around it and just keep patching it and patching it, because we all know what happens. You know, I'm near San Francisco. You know, you get an earthquake and darn, the whole thing is going to come down. Or, you know, we've got the Millennium Tower, right? That's, you know, not on solid foundation. You walk around the base of that building and the cracks in the sidewalks are deep. I mean, it's leaning, right? I mean, it is deep. And they're going to have to go back now and put that foundation in. And it's harder. It's harder to do it once it's been built, right? Because we're so used to doing what we do. We're so used to operating on autopilot. 90 to 95% of what we do is on autopilot. Right? So for us to go back, it isn't easy. But when you start to see what comes from it, when you just start to fix, you know, I'm not saying you got to re-pour the whole slab. I happen to be on a mat, you know, on a slab. My house is on a slab. And, you know, you don't have to re-pour the whole thing. You can start with one area and you start to see, wow, I'm having some improvements. I'm having some things that are happening in my life that I'm like, can I just keep going with this? And that's when you want to build up those muscles. And those muscles are creating new habits. And, you know, in your brain, and you know this better than anyone, those good and bad habits are neutral in your brain. It doesn't know that something's good or something's bad. It's just trying to make sure you keep doing it. And so I sit there and say, when somebody says, oh, you know, I do this thing and it's really bad. And I say, well, who told you it's bad? Well, I just, you know, I think it's bad. Well, that's your interpretation that you think it's bad. But, you know, is it bad because it's hurting you from having or stopping you from having this lifestyle? If it is, then let's stop thinking good, bad, and let's start thinking, how do we get to that ultimate change? And when you start to say, I'm in control of the change, I'm in control of my own reality. My reality is in control by my thoughts that I have about my reality. It starts to have like, it actually, for me and for my clients, when I start talking about this, it's like the light bulb goes off. That, okay, this is starting to make sense. This is starting to, you know, I don't have to like think of it like I'm going to put on my tennis shoes right now and go run. Well, right now, if I ran two miles, it might be a lot, but you know, I'm not going to go out and run 10 miles. You don't have to think that way. I just want you to put your shoes on. I just want you to put the tennis on. You don't have to do anything with it today. Now, tomorrow I might be asking you to, hey, go walk around the block. And then by the end of the week, we'll have the 1 to 2 miles done. But right now it's just about like, you know, you got to start with the awareness of what's happening in your life. What is it that you want to kind of like build on? And I love the word amplify. I love that word because when you amplify something, you give it, you know, that like the bigness behind it, and you keep growing it, and it keeps growing and growing. And the way I want you to really think about it is, you can amplify anything that you put your focus onto. You know, what you put your focus on grows. So start to focus on amplification. Nice. On the good things. Yeah.
So another piece that I heard you talking about in there too was, you know, the crack represents the story that you're telling yourself, right? And then the solution is about, fixing or, you know, repairing your foundation is about shifting that story, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be a tough step for people because mm-hmm. they've invested so much in maintaining that story, right? Because, and this is my opinion, because when people aren't experiencing the life that they think they deserve or the life that they desire, the story often is about shifting responsibility onto someone or something else. And so it's difficult to shift that story, like I said, to do the self work, because it puts you in, you know, in control. It puts you in, you know, ultimate position of responsibility there. Have you experienced that, or what's your thought on that, shifting the story and what it takes?
Nick, I love this because when you start to think about, and primarily my clients, as I said, you know, midlife, right? And you have a decision. You're going to either have, you know, a midlife crisis, or you're going to do a midlife relaunch. Because if you're at the midlife mark, you've had experiences that haven't gone your way. You've had setbacks. You've had to bounce back. You have, you know, things, the stories you talk about, you've already seen some of the chinks in the armor, some of that, like, you know, things that are not the kinks in the armor, the things that are not really working. You're finding that, you know, there are cracks in those stories. There are things that you're like, you know, I'm not really sure why I still believe that, but I do. And that's when you have to be able to say, and I've shared that I have a podcast, The Silver Lined Relaunch. Silver Lined. I believe that everything you've been through, the hardest of hard times, and I've had melanoma, and I've had, I've been divorced and have had, you know, terrible things happen to my children and, you know, work thing. I mean, my story is no different than anyone else's story, is what I'm trying to say, is that, you know, everyone is ordinary. But we all have these extraordinary things that have happened that we think are extraordinary, yes, like, you know, and they can be the good and the bad. But what I really want to make sure that we're really on this page is that when you start to think about how you are going to benefit from like whatever bad situation happens, right? How you're going to craft your silver lining. And through the hardest of hard, you change. And change can come in a nanosecond. You can change, boom, change. Growth takes time.
Love it. And I want to challenge you on one thing that you just said there, Hillary. Sorry. I know we're just getting to know each other. But you said, my story is no different than anybody else's story. And that's where I want to challenge you, right? And the challenge is, I would have you say your life is no different than anybody else's. But what's different, I mean, your life experiences, right? What's different is how you're choosing to write the story.
Love that.
Right?
Love that. And I think that I really can appreciate that. When I start to say that my story is that we all have stories.
Absolutely.
We all have, like, I mean, my gosh, I'm sure I could sit here and say, you know, okay, Nick, what's going on in your life? And you'd give me, well, and if I said, you know, let me just hear all the crap that's going on. And you'd be like, oh, no, no. I mean, this is what we all have. We all have it. And so I love how you spun that. And it's the stories that make up your life and how you, and that's so brilliant how you said it, and how at the point where we are, where you decide the next chapter, where you become the story teller and not the story receiver. That's where it becomes super interesting.
Love it. So I'm on a roll. I'm going to keep going. So you also said a little bit ago that as people are embracing the process and going through, you know, your steps, that, and they're doing the work, that they may say, hey, this manifestation thing, this is working for me. Right. And so, for me, I think law of attraction, when I hear that, in terms of, you know, what am I going to manifest in my life? And I've really been digging into that more intentionally lately with my audiobook time. And one of the things that, again, was like, duh, I should have known this, right? Giving myself some grace. But it's the idea of, we can do a ton of mental gymnastics, right? We can do mindset work. We can do affirmations. We can do vision work. But if we don't believe it down here, it's not going to come. It's not going to take us very far. Thoughts on that? And audience, I'm pointing to my heart. If we don't believe it down here in your soul, right, then we're going to experience plateaus.
You know what? Manifestation and the whole thought, I think it got a very bad rap of being like woohoo and like, oh, manifestation, and, you know, oh, you're going to get into the, you know, woohoo of trying to make this happen. Well, here's how I really think about it. And I agree, it's got to be, you know, deep inside of you. When you are looking to achieve something, and when you have a goal for something, and I mentioned this at the very beginning with the gentleman that, you know, ended up selling his company, his manifestation was, I want to sell my company. I want to sell my company, and I want to sell it for, you know, over a certain dollar amount. And it was very contextual, right? It's that like context, like there's a vehicle that he put it in, like, boom, this is what I want to do. And then it happened. And the reason that this manifestation, yes, it worked, but it didn't work in the right way for him. It backfired, was because he did not know emotionally how he wanted to feel when he reached it. And so that was the missing piece, is that what he really wanted, and by the way, there was a very interesting side story about what success looked like for him, and he believed that success was you know, all of a sudden he would have 10 houses throughout the world and he would be able to go and travel. And then he realized once he had this money that, oh, by the way, he's got a little teeny kid at home. He can't go travel. He can't go. So what he equated to the success wasn't feasible in his life. So it was almost like, you know, a domino effect. It just one domino hit and like just all collapsed. And so what I like to do when I start to talk about bringing things into your life, making them a reality, as I mentioned earlier, it's, you know, it's the reality of it for you. You have to be able, and there's a, I think it's a TED talk, it's Simon Sinek about the why. And he talks about this idea of emotionally, like if you're trying to sell something to somebody, if you're just working on the words and the logical level, that's not where somebody buys. They buy in the emotional level. They buy in where it's processed in the limbic system, which, by the way, doesn't understand language. So unless you're hitting with this concept of emotions, it's going to go right through them. You're not going to have that sale. You're not going to be able to do what you think you're going to be able to do. Same thing goes with these types of goal setting and achieving something. What I like to do is first and foremost, I do get a lot of people that come to me and they're, you know, maybe they're having success in their business, but their relationships are suffering. Maybe they don't have anybody in their life. And maybe they've been focused so much on their career that they wake up one day and they have nobody in their life to share their successes. Or maybe they have had a divorce and they wake up and it's 7 years later and they're still single. Ah, that was me. So when I started to think about my own manifesting the perfect, you know, second husband for myself, I wasn't thinking about how tall he was going to be. I wasn't thinking about, you know, the type of characteristics he was. I was thinking about how he would emotionally make me feel, how that would then tie into, I love to ski. How would I feel if I'm with him and I'm on the ski slopes, I'm skiing down and he's, you know, jamming off in the powder. I mean, what would I just got chills. You know, that's what I start to really have people do. And that's what helped me get over the hump of, you know, he must be this, he must be that, he must be that. Because really, it all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be disappointed if you have your list of 10 or 20 things and you sit there and say, well, he's all of these, but, you know, maybe six. It's like, no. Does he emotionally make you feel that way? And then, by the way, there's always that idea that if you can't emotionally attach to something, that it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you don't need to know how you're going to make it happen. And that's also going back to manifestation. If you really know your feeling, and I finally got this, this gentleman to know what feeling he wants, because he wants to do it again. He wants to go create another company. It's in his blood. He's going to do it. But this time around, it's what type of feeling, like what exactly the joy that's going to come because he's going to change the way he's working now. He's going to be home now to be able to have dinner with his child. He's going to, you know, make time to turn off the computer and not work until 11 o'clock and then wake up again at 5 a.m. He's making time to spend with his family, with his wife. And in that, it becomes part of his manifestation. It becomes part of, remember I mentioned amplification? I started to say, how could you bring in those levels of joy into your life before you have this next big hit? What could you be doing on a short-term basis around those feelings? Because again, what you lean into, what you focus on grows. And so if you can sit there and say, all right, I'm going to lean into right now. I really want to be able to, you know, have a successful company. I really want to be able to provide for my family and not be worried about, you know, every single paycheck or paying your payroll or whatever it is. You start to think about, you know, what you really want. By having that happen, you're going to have, you know, this confidence. You're going to have this inner connection to yourself. You're going to have this wonderful relationship with your child. Your child's going to be able to see you and to learn from you. And by the way, this is probably why you're doing all of this anyway, right? You want to have an impact, your legacy. And so that's where they find that it happens one time. And then it becomes their drug. Like, oh, I want more of this. I want this incredible lifestyle. I know, you know, Hillary's given me this, like, you know, I feel like sometimes they're like, oh my God, this is like a secret every single kid should know in grammar school. And the best part is that I have opportunities where I get to be in business classes at universities, and I'll be, you know, a speaker for one of the classes, and I'll come in and I'll share this. And then you watch the kids light up. They're like, it's like, this is the Holy Grail, nice. You know? And it's, I think that we all have the message. It's how we say it. It's how we deliver it. And you could hear the message from 10 different people. And then all of a sudden you hear it from one person in just that little bit of a different way. And you're like, I get it. And then you start to listen to others and you're like, oh, now I'm adding on to it. Now there's that. I should be, you know, bringing into this equation. As you said, you know, you're reading Guru Speak. Yeah, we start to learn more and more as you're building your foundation.
Love it. So I got to ask, I'm curious, and I could be off on this, but does Michael Singer and Untethered Soul have a place in your world?
Okay, I don't know very much about it. So I have to be, I'm an avid reader. I can't.
The only reason why I bring it up, because he was a higher up at Oracle at some point in time.
Okay. And I was there. I was at Oracle for 10 years.
And I'm pretty sure it's Oracle. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Oracle. And he was at the top when the whole thing was under a big investigation, you know, a congressional investigation. And that was kind of the basis of him kind of, I think, generating the book. But anyway, long story short, and check into it. Again, I could be wrong. I might have to fact check myself on that. But, you know, one of the things that he talks about is when he works with people is he'll say, you know, I want you to, you know, write down 3, 4, 5, 10 things that you want in your life. And he's like, yeah, and I want you to do it now. And so again, if you're listening to this, you know, think about it. Think about 3 things that you want, your goals that you want in your life. You want this house, you want this car, you want this new job, whatever it is. Okay, get those 3 things. And then he'll ask you this, and okay, say I can make all of those happen for you next week. They're there, boom. But here's the thing, you're going to be miserable. So you can have the things, but you're going to be miserable. Do you want those things now? And most people will be like, well, no, I don't want those if I'm going to be miserable. Okay. So what do you really want then? Right. Is it really, you know, is the things that you really want, is what you really want really found in things that you can accumulate in your life? Right. Or is it, you know, again, it's happiness. People want to be happy and then people want to be content and have joy. So start having that now. Like you said, focus on what you want, amplify that. But, you know, I remember going through that first, hearing that for the first time, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was kind of like a fake out, right?
Yeah.
No, I love that. I love that idea. And if you think back on your happiest times in your life, is it the item or the, you know, the thing? Mm. Or was it the feeling that you had?
Absolutely.
That
relational experience that you've had, right? I mean, let's just cut right down to it, right? You know? So.
Well, what is, you know, NLP, you know, neuro-linguistic programming, what do they really talk about? They talk about the 5 senses. And, you know, that idea that when they take you back to starting to think about a situation, it's all about, like, you know, what'd you see? What'd you smell? What'd you hear? You know, what'd you feel? What colors were out there? I mean, it really is. It's not so much that tangible item. It's It's the feeling inside. And, you know, I feel so strongly about life. And the reason I do focus on I find that so many people say, you know, well, I want a better life. And it's like, what does that mean? I don't have a clue of what a better life is, because, you know, your life, my life, who knows? But if you really kind of lean into, once you've figured out, you've got this clarity around how you want to feel, how do you really want to feel? And this goes back to, this is a different conversation, but it goes back to your values. And a lot of people are like, you know, I don't really know why that even matters. Why do whatever. But your core values, when you're in alignment, and when I talked about reset in the relaunch process, reset, we go through a core value exercise. And a lot of people have done core values and they, you know, narrow it down to, two or three. But I like, once you get to that core value or multiple core values, three is pretty much what I try to get you to narrow down to. You put a mission statement around those core values. And when you start to think about a mission statement that you're going to live your life by, that I've had people come up with core values that they're like, I had no idea. Great example. Recently I was doing this and somebody had one of their main goals was to create a successful six-figure business. And they were starting this company up. It was a brand new one and they really wanted to do it very rapidly. And when we started to go down the core values, there was no focus around abundance, around wealth, around prosperity. And I said, this is great. These are great core values for you and yourself, but what are your core values for your business? Because if you don't have, when your goal is to bring in, you know, six figure, you better be focused on, your values might be around, you know, abundance, around prosperity. And they need to be right now because we're trying to manifest this so quickly. So, and then that changes. I mean, it changes that, you know, all of a sudden, you might put down that, or you might have come out that integrity is one of your core values, and that, you know, your word, and that maybe you haven't been keeping your word, and maybe you've been saying yes, and then you're not keeping your word to yeses, and you're constantly like bailing on people, and you're like, this is so important to me. I really want to focus on this value. Well, all of a sudden you take the steps to get that value into your life and you have it, and it becomes a habit. You don't need to worry about that one anymore. And then you put in another value that you really want to work on, because if you're really going and aiming for, that better you, that means that you're constantly, as I earlier mentioned, you're constantly in growth mode, not change mode.
Yeah. I'm as a coach too, you know, core values is definitely part of the work that I do with folks. And so many people are just, they're unaware of values and core values. And, you know, one of the things that I tell people is, and I did an episode about it too, for folks if they want to go back and check it out on core values. But if you're not crystal clear on you, if you don't have clarity around your own core values and you're not intentional about living them out in a very practical, meaningful, observable ways, KPI type ways, right? Then by default, you're living out someone else's or something else's core values. And this is what marketing is. This is what companies, you know, do, is they try to co-opt their customers' values by inserting their values over top of it. And that's not always a bad thing. It's bad if you're not aware of it, right? Or, you know, it's going to have an undue influence on you if you're not aware of those things. And so I have a spin on values, and I'd like to run it by you. Because there's a lot of exercises, like you say, a lot of people go through it, whether because maybe they were working with you at Oracle, right? Or, they're in relationship trouble and their counselor told them to do it, whatever. There's a lot of different ways where you may run across a core values exercise. And I like your caveat on, you know, if you have a business and you need established core values. So I'm going to talk about personal core values here. And I believe that we're born with them and that we have them, and it's not picking them out of a list because you think that that's what you should be, it should be a value in your life, right? So I think we're born with them. I think it's part of who we are. It's part of our personality nature. So how do you get there? Think about the last thing you were really pissed off about. There's a core value at play there. You know, think about the best experience that you had in your life. There's a core value at play there. Think about where you spend your time the most or your money the most. There's core values at play there. So they're at play. Even, again, you're not aware of them, right? Necessarily, unless you work with somebody like us, right? And we force people to look at it. But I'm a big proponent of, it's about a self-discovery process as opposed to I'm going to add this thing into my life. And again, that's my spin and that's my angle on it. And I know a lot of people have a different take on that.
No, I love what you just said. And I want to just tie it into something that I did a coaching call mm-hmm. today. This was with a woman and she was very upset that she kept feeling like the person, this man that, she was with wasn't hearing her. And a core, what we determined was one of her core values is having loyalty. And if I think about, her big thing, listening and loyalty and trying to feel like belonging, it was missing. And I like how you said that about look at the opposite and you can find what your core value. That's a great thing that you're doing.
Well, thank you for the validation. I always get a little bit, because we all come to our conclusions about these things as people and as coaches based on, what works for us and our experiences. And so I get it. Somebody will have a different take on it. But for me, it's not an experiment process. Let's try this or try that. No, that didn't fit. I think it's there. And it's about a self-discovery, internal, let's really figure out what makes you tick and your core values will be there, right?
I agree. And I think I agree with you with the core values that they are innate. You're born with them. And then as you look at different areas of your life, you can realize that your values, what you should be focused on to make sure that we've talked about identity, who you're trying to be, what would the values associated with that person who has achieved that, or who's going for that, how would they be? And that's where I like to kind of back into, well, all right, so they would be of high integrity. They would be, because it's a very successful business, they'd be focused on, the abundance around, but they're not just focused in one area of their life with abundance. Sure. So it'd be like, and once they are like, yeah, because then guess what it does? It ties to the whole lifestyle too. Right.
So Hillary, I want to focus in on now in terms of what you're doing with people and, that I heard you talk about pivot versus relaunch, right? And relaunching is really kind of what you're about. And, how does somebody get to that place in their life to get to that point to where I got to do something, I got to relaunch? What are you seeing out there in the people that you're working with?
I think right now, everybody is having some form of a relaunch. Yeah. I think, I remember when I first named the company and some people are like, don't you think it's a little too business-like because you cover everything in a person's life and what, and I'm laughing now because now it's becoming common, it's just a common word. And I am asked, what's the difference between a pivot and a relaunch? And it really does go back to this foundation. A pivot can be something, you're changing on the spot. A relaunch is growth. A relaunch is growth. It's getting you where you want to ultimately be. And the way that I work with people and the way that, my mission of getting this idea of, getting more and more people to feel like they can rebuild their foundation, that it's not too late, that in fact, there's never been a better opportunity because of everything that's going on with change. And so what I have is, I do the Silver Lined relaunch, the podcast, to inspire, to really ignite possibility in people. And my therelaunchco.com is a, I have a program that I take business people through to make sure that they, you know, I mean, there's all these great programs out there. There's all these great courses you can buy. But unless you understand the basis of the foundation of the business, when another, you know, major storm comes your way, I want to make sure that you, you know, have the foundation, that you understand the foundation to be able to do that. And then you get the courses, and then, you know, I help figure out, like, you know, at what point should you actually be getting those courses? Because people are getting courses that they don't need for a while, and that, you know, there is a rhyme and a reason to the whole thing. And I also have a membership group, which is pretty exciting because it's called the Relaunch Collective. And that one, where my one-to-one coaching is men and women, the Relaunch Collective is for women. And it really gives them these possibility paths of creating this, you know, powerhouse of possibility within you. And they're miniature little quick, you know, hits. So you, I know none of us have a lot of time, we're all busy, but these just kind of help you along your way. They get you started so that then if you want to continue down the path and take one of my courses, then you have that good foundation. So yeah, it's fun. And we also have a, on the relaunchco.com, I do a free 7-day how to get unstuck challenge. And it takes you through the relaunch process in a 7-day period. And I'm going to be running another one here constantly, but you can sign up for the wait list on the website.
Perfect. Hillary, the one question I ask everybody that comes on the show is, what does mindset mean to you, and how does somebody, you know, upgrade their mindset?
I feel like I've like hammered this one. but if I think about mindset is something that is deep within you. It has to do with you are in control of your reality. And the way you can take control is by first and foremost changing your thoughts. And guess what? That's your power. Your power is in your thoughts because you control them.
Perfect. So what's the first step or two for changing your thoughts?
You have to acknowledge them. You have to be aware of what kind of thoughts you're having. That those thoughts are creating your reality. And so if you look around and you start to see like things that you're really not that psyched about in your life, or things that you're disappointed with where you are in your life, then start to notice through the day, what thoughts are you thinking? And how are those cementing more in that foundation, that type of outcome? Once you realize that, that's when you can take back your personal power and say, all right, a thought is no more than 90 seconds. It's like instantaneously, it just comes and it goes. So what are some other thoughts that you could be thinking that would be helping whatever you're thinking you want in your life grow?
Love it. Nice. You hammered it again. Hillary, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know that I benefited from it just from the conversation and from the knowledge that you brought to my life. And I know my audience will have a very similar experience. For folks that really connected with you and your message, run us through, again, I know you said it, but run us through where they can connect with you and how they can find more of you.
You're so sweet. And by the way, I've loved this and thank you for having me on your show. People can go to therelaunchco.com, and that's our website. It has a lot of the different links, a lot of the web, the wait lists. We also are on Instagram, and it's the Relaunch Co. And you can always check out my podcast, The Silver Lined Relaunch.
I love that. That's a great name. Hillary, thank you so much. It was fun. It was a pleasure. Hopefully we'll do it again.
Thank you. So much fun. And I'm so happy that we were introduced and that this came to be.
Now that was a powerful conversation, a powerful interview with Hillary DeCesar, and her take on mindset. Man, I just can't I can't add much to it. You know, it's solid that it's your thoughts that determine your reality. It's your thoughts that determine the life that you have and the life that you want to have. And in order to do something different with your life, you've got to start with your thoughts. And how do you start with your thoughts? Well, Hillary told us you got to start becoming aware of how you think, what you think, and what are the outcomes of those thought processes that you have. Loved it. Solid suggestions, solid advice. And I have to say, I would recommend all kinds of people to work with Hillary. So if that's you, if you resonated with her message, I would encourage you to reach out to her, schedule a initial call with her, and see if what she has to offer can help you relaunch who it is that you are and what it is that you're trying to do. I'll put all the links to connect with Hillary in my show notes, and as always, to get those notes, head over to my website,